Ingrid Bergman was heading south now. General Wallace wanted a better idea for the Chinese logistical tail, and now he was getting it. The People's Republic of China was in many ways like America had been at the turn of the previous century. Things moved mainly by rail. Those were efficient for moving large quantities of anything, but they were also inflexible and hard to repair, especially the bridges and tunnels, and so that was what he and his targeting people were looking at. The problem was that they had few bombs to drop. Wallace was fighting a defensive war to this point, so though his fighters were having a fine, successful war, they just weren't accomplishing anything important. To that end, he lifted his satellite link to America. "We ain't got no bombs, General," he told Mickey Moore. "Well, your fellow air scouts are maxed out on taskings, and Mary Diggs is screaming to get his chopper brigade moved to where he needs it." "Sir, this is real simple. If you want us to kill some Chinese targets, we have to have bombs. I hope I'm not going too fast for you." "Go easy, Gus. We're working on it," the chairman of the Joint Chiefs assured him. "And so, Marshal Luo?" Zhang Hansan asked. "Things go well. We crossed the Amur River with trivial losses and are now driving north. Enemy opposition? Light, very light, in fact. We're starting to wonder if the Russians have any forces deployed in sector at all. I expect to see the gold mine in 7 days." "Is anything going badly?" Xian asked. "Only in the air. The Americans have inflicted some losses on our fighter aircraft." "How large are the losses?" "Over 100. We've gotten 25 or so of theirs, and they have not attacked into our territory at all." "Why is that, Marshal?" Fang asked. "We are not certain," Luo answered, turning to the MSS chief. "Tan?" "The most likely explanation is that the Americans have made a political decision not to attack us directly, but merely to defend their Russian ally in a pro forma way. The main reason for their restraint is undoubtedly political." Heads nodded around the table. All of these men understood political considerations. "Does this mean that they are measuring their action against us in such a way as to cause us minimal injury?" Tong Ji asked. "Remember what I said before," Zhang pointed out. "They will do business with us once we've secured our new territory. So they already anticipate this. What else are the Americans but mercenaries?" The meeting soon adjourned, and the ministers went their separate ways. "Fang?" The junior minister without portfolio turned to see Tian Kun coming after him in the corridor. "Yes, my friend." "Where does Zhang get this rubbish about American ideology?" "He is wise in the ways of international affairs," Fang replied. "Is he? Is he really? Is he not the one who tricked the Japanese into commencing a war with America? And why? So that we and they could seize Siberia. And then did he not support Iran and their attempt to seize the Saudi kingdom? And why? So that we could then use the Muslims as a hammer to beat Russia into submission, so that we could seize Siberia. Fang, all he thinks about is Siberia. He's an adventurer, and those men come to bad ends. He may lead our country to its doom." "Are the Americans so formidable as that?" "If they are not, Fang, why does Tan spend so much of his time trying to steal their inventions? Don't you remember what America did to Japan and Iran?" "I fear this, Fang. I fear what Zhang and Luo have gotten us into." "Even if you are right, what can we do to stop it?" "Nothing," Qian admitted. "But someone must speak the truth." "Perhaps so, Qian. We will speak more," Fang promised. Colonel Dick Boyle arrived on the very first C-5B Galaxy, which, immediately upon rolling to a stop, lifted its nose visor door to disgorge the first of three UH-60A Black Hawk helicopters. "Dick, come on over," General Diggs called. "This is General Bondarenko. Gennady, this is Colonel Boyle, who commands my aviation brigade." "What do you want me to do, sir?" Boyle asked Diggs. "Take Tony Turner to Cheetah. That's the railhead we're going to be using. We need to get set up there." "Drive the tracks in from there, eh?" Boyle looked at the map. "That's the plan." You've got mail, the mechanical voice said. Great, the DDO breathed. She downloaded the latest Sorge feed and punched the speed dial button for Dr. Sears. Yes? This is Mrs. Foley. We got one. On the way, Director. Here, she handed the sheets across. They're trying to analyze our actions. Yeah, projecting their own political outlook onto us. They misunderstand us worse than we misunderstand them, Director. That must be your Captain Alexandrov, Major Tucker said. 1,400 meters from the nearest Chinese, that's pretty close. He's a good boy, Aliyev said, just reported in. And the main body? 25 miles back. They're lagering in for the night, too, but they're actually building campfires. Tucker worked the mouse to show the encampments. This is amazing, Aliyev said in frank admiration. All we need now is some smart pigs. What? You'll see, Colonel, you'll see, Tucker promised. Under Tucker's guidance, the UAV kept heading south to continue the catalog of the Chinese units advancing into Siberia. There were 16 ribbon bridges on the Amur River now, but the really vulnerable points were around Harbin, well to the south, inside Chinese territory. Lots of railroad bridges between there and Bei'an, the terminus to the railroad lifeline to the People's Liberation Army. Grace Kelly saw a lot of trains. To Major Tucker, it all looked like a collection of targets. Ryan leaned back and rubbed his eyes. I'm surprised that their defense minister is so narrow, Robbie thought aloud, his eyes tracing over the Sorge dispatch. Okay, Robbie, you used to be god of operations across the river. What do you recommend? The idea in a major operation is always to play with the other guy's head. The common factor of every successful military plan in history is this. You show the guy what he expects and hopes to see, and then when he thinks he's got the world by the ass, you cut his legs off in one swipe. The smart move is to let him keep going for a few more days, make it just seem easier and easier for him while we build up our capabilities. And then when we hit him, we land on him like the San Francisco earthquake. No warning at all, just the end of the fucking world hits him. Mickey, what's their most vulnerable point? It's always logistics. They're burning maybe 900 tons of diesel fuel a day to keep those tanks and tracks moving north. They have a full 5,000 engineers working like beavers running a pipeline to keep up with their lead elements. And we use the smart pig to take care of those, Vice President Jackson finished. Smart pig? Ryan asked. Robbie explained, concluding, we've been developing this and a few other tricks for the last 8 years. Gus Wallace has that at the top of his Christmas list.